All right, Kevin Barker. Well, I was prepared to come on and spend a great deal of time talking about how John Schneider made all the right moves, but sometimes the right moves, the logical moves, they just don't work out. Then Jonathan Clase tied the game. And that man, Alejandro Kirk, drives in the eventual winning run. Jeff Hoffman goes 1-2-3 in the bottom of the 10th. Kevin Barker, your Blue Jays, 5-4 winners over the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, that's good, right? I mean, on the road occasionally against a good team, you got to grind out some wins. That's exactly what happened. Yeah, you know, it's the first time I think we've seen a little, chink in the armor when it comes to the pen, right? I mean, Little coming out, spinning that thing. He's either locating or bouncing it. You know, sometimes you walk guys. You know, I don't mind when they brought him in. Four of the next five were left-handed hitters. I think John made the right move there. Yariel, occasionally you're going to hang a spinner. I mean, that's just life. You're a human being. You know, they bounce back from that. Clase, say it's supporting cast, right? I mean, we've been talking about that for weeks now, about it takes 13 guys. On this team, it's going to take 13. It ain't two or three. It's 13 of them. And you know, I think that's about the only place that he could hit a homer is a 2-1 heater right down the middle. I've been saying this forever. If you let them, no matter if you're an elite closer or not, they're going to end up throwing you one down the middle. That's exactly what happened. Nice little short compact swing gives you a chance to get it in the air. I mean, it's just – it's sometimes I think it's got that feel, Jeff, where, you know, the way you started your season, you couldn't keep it in the yard, you couldn't hit it out of the yard. Now, all of a sudden – sort of everybody that walks to the plate has an opportunity of getting a big hit, helping a team win a baseball game. It's just got that feel again, like that.
There's a considerable amount of swagger to this team right now. I think it's safe to say. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. If you are texting us, 590-590 is the text line. Again, the Blue Jays in 10 innings beating the St. Louis Cardinals 5-4 in the first game of a three-game series. The Jays are now 36-30 and continuing to cut into that less than spectacular record against teams that are 500 or better. Good series win over the Twins, a win tomorrow could give them a series win over St. Louis. Then you got three games coming up against the Philadelphia Phillies in Philadelphia. Kevin, before we talk about the offense a little bit and Alejandro Kirk, you know, Yariel Rodriguez has emerged as a bulwark of this bullpen. 16 2/3 scoreless innings coming into tonight. Gives up a home run. Sees the lead evaporate. Comes back out in the next inning and bridges them to Jeff Hoffman. I wonder, you know, obviously, you know, Yariel Rodriguez would rather not give up the home run. But I wonder if this also isn't maybe a little bit of a, I mean, you're big on graduation games. And I'm wondering if coming back out after giving up that lead and just going about your business, if that's a further sign of just what a different pitcher this guy is compared to the guy we saw last year.
Yeah, I think it's more about early in the game when you see him getting loose, when, you know, he knows he's going to pitch two or three innings after he's getting loose. I think that, for me, is more important. The routine, he's seemed like, for me, he's mastered, you know, what works for him. That's getting loose a little bit earlier than normal people would be getting loose, just to get his mind right, get his extension right, keep it in the zone a little bit longer. You know, his stuff's a tick higher, which is a big deal. He's thrown a little bit harder. Again, you see him being, occasionally somebody's going to hang one. That's sort of what happened in the middle of the order. You hang one, you get burnt for it. But, yeah, I think so. I think that says more about what John and Petey think of him than, you know, sort of what the, you know, the graduation of what we're seeing with Yariel. Give everybody credit. Now he's made adjustments. You know, they put him in situations now that higher leverage thing seems like just between the years is giving him enough confidence and told him that his stuff's going to play against high-octane offensive players. And, you know, sort of he's taking it and run with it, and he's making everybody seem and tell everybody they're right. So, yeah, I mean, he's been great.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Carlos in Richmond Hill, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. That is a huge win after what looked like a devastating eighth inning. What one comment and one question for you guys. Andre Jimenez, you know, he might only hit 230 or something. He made a really nice defensive play in the ninth inning and then another really nice play in the 10th inning. I think that defense is really going to play if we stay in this stretch. Like, the baseball IQ looks off the chart. The glove is really good. So I think happy to have him back. My question for you guys, I get the Rodriguez stats you guys were just quoting. Berríos was at 89 pitches. Like, if we're going to play meaningful games in September, Schneider has to stop doing this. If a guy is dealing, like, he could have gone 8 shutout innings, I think. He gave up the 2-out base hit. In my mind, that is a premature hook on a guy that's dealing, and we've seen that in the playoffs, as you guys know. I think Schneider needs to stop, but I'd love to get your take there.
Hang on. I want you to stay in the line. Kevin, talk to Carlos. Explain why neither of us had an issue with John Schneider.
Carlos, with all due respect, it's June 9th. I mean, I understand what we've seen in the past, who we've seen him do it to, and Brendan Little's been almost as dominant as you could possibly be. And, again, you got to remember, other than the pinch hitter, that was 4 lefties out of the next 5 batters. Like, he basically lined it up with the lead with a dude standing at second base. I just don't know how you can argue that. And going forward, you got to remember too, Carlos, they really don't have a 4th and 5th starter. You know, I know they said Bowden's going to make his next start, but they still don't have a 4th and 5th starter. So you're trying to protect with the lead, get it to your high leverage guys with that sort of pocket that he'd planned on. I'm sure they were thinking about that before the game started, right? If they have the lead with a runner on, he gets you to that point. We're turning it over to Little because he's had a couple of days off. So I can sort of see your point, but I can't really see your point just because it's June 9th.
I could be mistaken, but I feel like other teams, 6 2/3 shutout innings, 89 pitches, keep going. Like, I get where we are in the lineup. I get who's coming up. But I watch a lot of baseball. I feel like teams would say, look, you've got another 15 pitches in you the way you're dealing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of games this year where pitchers don't go through 7 innings. I mean, that's a rarity at this point. And I think, thanks for the call, Carlos. John Schneider's in a predicament right now. There's a lot of hope is being pinned on Max Scherzer's thumb, on Spencer Turnbull's ability to, to Adam Mako staying healthy at AAA. Like, this is almost a crisis situation for the Blue Jays in terms of their starting rotation. They've got a couple of off days coming up. They've got to start figuring out a way to balance not overworking the bullpen and not overworking the rotation. That is going to be tricky. And as I said, I think normally I would have been a little surprised to see Berríos come out, but in that situation, as Kevin said, with the 3 lefties coming up and with Brendan Little being as good as he's been and with Brendan Little being rested and knowing that Yariel Rodriguez is there, I really didn't have an issue with it. And more to the point, you could tell Jose Berríos didn't have an issue with it either when he came out. But, this is a tightrope that John Schneider and Pete Walker have to walk until something happens to give them another starting option.
Yeah, it's how many times you face the top of the order, right? They don't want the top of the order to see them that many times. You got a 3-0 lead. You know, it wasn't the best Berríos we've ever seen, right? Strike one, he'd thrown it about 48% of the time. That's not great, right? It was an effortless windup, relying more on the good finish. You know, it just didn't have that late giddy-up that he normally has. The late movement was pretty good because he had better finish, because it was effortless, right? The balanced attack, which he always has, makes him very unpredictable. I think allowed him to, you know, sequence, you know, sort of that on deck circle at bat, right? Beating the guy over there because he can't really game plan because of how much that balance sequencing is, right? Just sort of, it's the backdoor sliders, it's the fastballs up and in, it's the front hip two-seamer. I mean, it just wasn't his best. And again, if you got Brendan Little, who's basically been unhittable and been dominating lefties. I mean, I can kind of see Carlos, and again, it just gets back to managing in 2025. If it works, everybody thinks you're a genius. Way to go. You're saving Berríos for his next start, right? You want to see the best out of him continuously. If it don't work,
yeah, but
then
that's,
people
that's
who watch baseball like Carlos, you know, and have a good feel for the game are going, man alive, it'd been nice to leave the starter out there because he's dominating. So I think sometimes you just, you know, be happy that everybody's leaving the way it should be leaving, and they won probably a baseball game. Maybe they shouldn't have won on the road.
Although, yeah, managers, that's been the story with managers forever and ever.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you can't. But you can tell either. Carlos knows what he's talking about. He's watched a lot of baseball. It's a fair take.
It absolutely is a fair take. Claudio in King City on the text line. I love the move putting Rodriguez back in the ninth. He has earned high leverage outings and happy that he can leave the game knowing he contributed to the win. Now he can flush that eighth inning and go back to pitching great like he has been. Alex in the Junction, regardless of how this game ends, he sent this along before the end of the game, Kirk is more than living up to his contract on both sides of the ball. I usually agree with most of Barker's takes, but the Jays were smart to lock him up and take that pressure off. Kevin, he's hitting .316. He's got a shot at going to the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, there's some pretty good catchers in baseball. He's having a really good year. I mean,
take more than one, though, don't forget.
His lower half is I mean, I know you're taking jabs at me because I was the one that said, what's your big hurry? And I'm still sticking with that. What's your big hurry? I mean, he's still got a year left. But, hey, they look like geniuses. I mean, he's proven everybody right, saying – you know, I think everybody knew that he was a real good player, right? Did they think that he was this kind of hitter, could do this with two strikes, could do that, play almost every single day behind the plate?
Nobody else knew that.
No, that was my only point. I don't think one time, and you can back me up on this, did I say don't pay him. I just said, what's your hurry in paying him? That's what I said.
Thing.
So it is not.
It is the same thing.
No,
it
it's
the same thing.
It's the same thing when you want to poke and pick at me because you're wrong, because you don't.
Thing.
You have no idea what I said. He's having an outstanding year. He is one of the main reasons why they're six or seven games above .500.
Six.
Where would they be without him? Right, with who they don't have. You know, Tony Taters basically is Tony non-existent. So it's like, you know, good for Kirk. He's hitting cleanup for the Blue Jays and raking. So good for him.
Yeah, more like Tony's donuts, as in zero.
Well, I mean, he's hit some homers. Be nice.
Morgan in Halifax, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Good, good.
Well, the Blue Jays did better than the Oilers tonight, that's for sure. So that's a bright spot.
I watched a little bit of that. Not surprised.
Honestly. anyhow, the starting rotation going in down the stretch here into the All-Star break. We got we're all aware of Bowden Francis and what he's looking like here in the last little bit. I want to know how you guys would schedule the rotation going here with the off day on Thursday, off day Monday. What do you guys think the rotation should look like going into the stretch here?
Appreciate the call. I don't think you can plan it right now. Eric Lauer, to me, gets a start, obviously, in the final game of this series. And I got to tell you, I got no problem. If Eric Lauer is going to keep doing what he's doing, I would have no problem. Frankly, I trust him more than I trust Bowden Francis right now. For now. Who knows how long that's going to last. Teams make adjustments to pitchers
Against St. Louis, it would be the Phillies, right? There'll be some lefties.
No,
up
he's
front
starting the third. TBA is for the third game against the Cardinals. So
okay,
I presume that would be Lauer.
There's lefties up front, right? So that would make sense. You know, it's how do you bridge it to your high leverage guys, right? Can he give you four or five innings? Then you bring in a Swanson, a Green to bridge it to whoever's available between the big three guys that we saw tonight, plus Flew Hardy. So, I think that's sort of the dilemma that they're in, right? Do you start Lauer? Do you piggyback Lauer off a guy that can come in facing a couple of righties? Seems to me probably there'll be more lefties at the top of the lineup for the Cardinals than righties, which would make sense. And he's been really good. He should give you a chance to eat up some innings, which is a big deal. So I think for me anyway, with the days off, it's more about getting the big three an extra day rest than worrying about the last two guys.
And actually, I would say – I would almost say it's more about getting Bassett and Gossman an extra day's rest.
You would think so.
Than Jose
they're
Berríos.
Always the normal picks, yeah.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, listen, your point is well is well made. It's not optimal. You know, Max Scherzer, this is going to be interesting because I don't know who calls the ball in Max Scherzer. I don't know if ultimately the decision – ultimately it's Max. Ultimately, Max is going to tell them whether the thumb's good to go or not. And that'll be, you know, again, even if Max Scherzer comes back, I mean, let's be clear. Max Scherzer, the chance of him coming back and giving them 7 2/3 every outing, that's not on. You are literally, with Max Scherzer for the rest of the year, going to be wondering what the day after feels like for the rest of the year. That's just going to be life with Max. So they still have to straighten out, I think, they still have to figure out how they accommodate Bowden's inconsistency compared to anything else. And again, you know, Adam Macko is in AAA. He's a guy that they've thought about. Spencer Turnbull's with the major league team. Kevin, yeah. Maybe there's your answer. I don't know. Maybe you go Lauer and Turnbull, right? Lefty, righty.
Well, yeah.
Maybe that's something you look at.
There you go. It's about getting it to the highest leverage guys, right? So, yeah, I mean, they got some options. Just how good are the options? That's the point. And the day offs is more about the big three than it is anybody else trying to get the extra day and, you know, just how you sort of surround and try and figure out how to basically not injure and abuse the top three guys because they've been pitching forever. That's the key point here. So
we may even there may even have to be another bullpen game. I mean, you just don't know.
Boy, I hope not.
They're going to be piecing this together.
Not for the bullpen arms.
They're going to be piecing this together. But, yeah, that's where we are. And I want to caution people that, you know, Max Scherzer, when he comes off the IL, I mean, there's just no guarantee. I still believe we all of us, have to take whatever Max Scherzer gives us as gravy. I just don't think you can pencil him in or you can put him in pen and expect anything terrific every time he goes out there. I just don't. I think you'll drive yourself nuts if you do that because it is, let's face it, the chances of him going the rest of the year without going back in the IL aren't good. I mean, they're
not. I don't
think
that's the point. The point is right now to weather the storm now to get to the trade deadline, and maybe you can add a piece that might be a little better and give you a little bit more opportunity to not have
still
to so much worry about two spots instead of one spot. Well, you know, again, when's the last time you heard about Max's thumb? I mean, he's been pitching and throwing like heart rate wise for almost a month now. Have you heard anything about the thumb? I haven't. So back to your point, whether, you know, who's making the call, it's Max. Cause I would assume if you haven't heard anything from Max with the organization, you'd think the organization will be, well, if you're conditioned enough to throw 65 pitches in AAA, won't you be doing that in the big league? So, yeah, I mean, for me, this is more about Max and is the organization, and hopefully when Max gets back, he's at least giving you an opportunity to at least get it to maybe one of those guys like a Turnbull, you know, sort of that four-inning, two-inning thing, and then you turn it over to Fluharty's and the Littles and the whoever else you want to go with. It's that kind of thing instead of worrying about, right, I got to worry about what Bowden's not doing, and now I got to worry about who's starting and opening, and it's sort of a cluster.
What did you make of Hoffman tonight?
Yeah, I thought that was one of the better split fingers he's thrown. I thought, again, here comes Heinemann. You know, we've been tooting Kirky forever, and we can't toot anymore. But, boy, it sure is amazing whenever Heinemann or anybody else is throwing to or he's catching anybody that's sort of been going through it. It's like when you throw a bad one, it's almost like, I saw you throw a bad one. I'm going to call it again, and you're going to throw a better one because you remembered how it's supposed to not feel to get it out there to make it go where you want it to go. It's just sort of that muscle memory. Yeah, I may be overthinking this thing, but it is amazing when Heinemann is in that game how much better that secondary stuff looks, location looks. I mean, wasn't so much his velocity tonight as it was location and movement on the slider and the split finger, which is, you know, starting that 10th inning with that dude on second, you got to get after dudes. Like, you got to go be in attack mode, and you basically got to have more than two pitches to get through it, and that's what he had tonight.
Yeah, you basically have to freeze the runner at second base at least for one out. I mean,
yeah, he's doing it against lefties too, which is not the easiest to get. I mean, it's the top of the order. He's doing that too.
Ryan in Innisfil, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hello, 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 gentlemen. Hope you guys are having a good night.
We are indeed.
Beauty. I just want to hop in quick before I get into my first point on the Bowden Francis starter sort of thing. I think it's a disservice to Bowden as well as the team to continue running him out at the state that he's in currently. I was a little bit confused as to why he wasn't one of the pitchers sent down, to be honest, because he looked absolutely defeated out there. The body language is no bueno. And I also think it's not beneficial to the peak of what this Blue Jays team is if you wait until the trade deadline to address this issue. They need to add another starter, and it needs to be sort of like an emergency act thing that they got going on in the front office right now, because we're fine, and that's my favorite thing about this team. They're taking that excuse and just squashing it right now and winning anyway. But how long does that go on for? Can we continue doing it like that? You don't really want to put stress on our top three starters at the moment. So, yeah. And what my actual point is currently is I'm incredibly optimistic about the Blue Jays right now. I think everyone who's a Blue Jays fan should be optimistic about the Blue Jays, not only for what this season can hold, but what the future can hold going forward. If they can lock up Bo and lock up Barsho and just have a good young core of the Kirky, Vladdy, Bo, it'll be awesome, man. Like, imagine this team this year if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like, we'd be unstoppable. It would be such a fun watch, not that it's not a fun watch currently. And last thing I want to say, too, is shout out Ben Shulman for the radio call on the Class A home run. That got me absolutely fired up. I would love to see him and his dad do a couple of the color commentary on the TV. Wow. That's all I got, boys.
Appreciate the call, Ryan. Thanks for that.
I like how people get fired up. I like how people get fired up.
Yeah,
you can pass it on. They'll never listen to me, so you can pass it on.
There are, again, there's so much. It does make you wonder what the hell is going to happen when Vladdy starts raking.
What if he don't?
He can't keep this up all year, can he? He's better than this.
Wait,
he's better. You don't think he's better than this?
It's too late to have this talk. Is he better than this? I mean, we've seen him be better. So fingers crossed that, you know, I'll ask it to you this way. Do you think he's got it in him to carry the lineup when other dudes, like right now, Kirky, Springer, you can throw Bo in there, you can throw Barger in there. Say three of those dudes aren't getting it done. You think Vladdy can carry the team for 2 weeks right now?
Right now? The way he is today, no.
Well, again, I've said this, and I've been the only one to say it, that he needs plan B, and for whatever reason, he don't have plan B. I mean, we've seen this before in past years where, you know, it's just here it is, see if you can hit it, and it rarely happens. So fingers crossed it happens, because I think it'd be real tough to make the playoffs if he don't have that 2 or 3 week span where he's doing things that are special.
5-4, the Blue Jays have beaten the St. Louis Cardinals in 10 innings. We'll step aside and come back and look at a wild game in Boston where a high-profile prospect made his MLB debut. And let's just say one of the first plays he made or didn't make will be memorable. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
4-3 Cardinals, the 2-1. Swing and a high fly ball. Deep right center field. Scott at the warning track. That ball is out of here! First homer of the season! Jonathan Clase ties it in the ninth! A big swing for the little guy. Classe ties it at four.
Yeah, that was kind of him in a nutshell, you know what I mean? Bunt hit. He had a great jump on the stolen base where Bo hits the line drive to first. Made a plays in center and then the homer. He's got tools, man. He's just dripping with potential. And, you know, it's taking a little bit of time for him to kind of get his feet grounded a little bit. But that was, I think, his best game by far.
This is John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, talking about Jonathan Classe. Ho-hum, Kevin Barker. Another day, another hero.
Yeah, he's dripping. I mean, I think that's the best way to say it. I mean, he's got every tool imaginable. It's just like John said, right? You got to believe you're a big leaguer. Everybody that gets called up has to go through that. That's one of those things, and it seems to me just sort of when you put him in the right spots against the right people, he can go up there and be himself. You see in the results. It's kind of cool.
Speaking of prospects, it's time now for the Bet365 standings update. You can download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. Other than the Blue Jays, the only other game involving an American League team involved two of them, the Tampa Bay Rays and the Boston Red Sox. The Yankees had the night off. The Orioles had the night off. But my, oh my, Kevin Barker, the Boston Red Sox called up their top prospect, Roman Anthony. Does drive in a run, but he makes a run-scoring error, letting a ball go underneath his glove in the outfield. The Tampa Bay Rays beat the Boston Red Sox 10-8 in 11 innings. And the beat goes on for the Red Sox, although the Red Sox did come into the game after winning a series against the New York Yankees. But still, with Roman Anthony called up, there were a lot of expectations in those young kids in Boston. And, well, the way the standings are right now, the Yankees are still atop. They're 39-25. The Blue Jays are four out of the division lead.
Woo-hoo.
They are 36-30. Tampa Bay is 35-30. Boston 32-35. The Baltimore Orioles 26-38. The Blue Jays are 8-2 in their last 10. They are, quite honestly, at this point in time, the hottest team in the American League. And Kevin, we talked a little bit about Jonathan Classe, and you talked about John Schneider's comments about him dripping,
yeah,
dripping with talent.
That's a great
offensively,
word.
Offensively, again, understanding that right about now we're talking about potential more than anything else.
Yeah.
What do you see from him in terms of his approach?
Yeah, look, I think he is sort of a typical 2025 guy, right? He's bought into what the Blue Jays are selling, which is that, you know, you're trying to put off one A swing to have, you know, impact forward, which, you know, some guys can do that, some guys can't. I mean, sometimes he's in between, sometimes he don't like the breaking ball. You know, it looks to me like he can hit a fastball in the right location. Like tonight, I mean, he got a 2-1-98 middle, you can effortlessly swing at it. Ball jumped off his bat. I think that's what you can't teach. You can teach him how to lay off the strike the ball, breaking ball. You know, you can teach him how to ambush, get better game plans. They throw you this one at bat, they'll throw you this another at bat. Like, you have to go through it to learn it. And I think that's sort of where it's at. And John mentioned it, right? He is dripping with talent. Like, he's got all that. John can't teach him that. Coaching staff can't teach him that. He's got all that, right? I think it's more route running in the outfield. It's hitting a cutoff guy. It's, you know, it's doing whatever you need to do to catch the ball, throw it to the right person. So, yeah, I mean, it's I think he's part of the supporting cast that is kind of nice to watch.
Sam in Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys, what's up? First of all, great win. Obviously, good to see Jonathan Classe. I don't know if that was his first major league home run. I don't know if that's great or not.
I have no idea. I don't know if he got one when he was with the Mariners or not.
Yeah, well, anyways, it was such a clutch of home run. My question is, why not send out Jeff Hoffman for a four-out save? there instead of using Yariel? Like, I know Yariel bounced back in the ninth to get it to the 10th, but why not use Hoffman for a four-out save?
Yeah, I think it's more the up-down. Like, they don't want Hoffman to do that as many times. He doesn't have to do that. And they'd rather Yariel do it because Yariel's done it and been good at it. I think that's sort of where it's at. He thrives in it. And I think with what Hoffman's been going through, I don't think you want to push the envelope too much. I think they'd rather give him the start. And they knew he'd have to come out doing that guy standing at second. It's not the easiest thing to do.
No, I'm with you. I think in this situation, I want my closer going in that last inning when I have the lead. That's what I think. On the road, especially the first game of a three-game series, absolutely.
And, Sam, that's his second career homer in the big leagues.
So he did get one with the Seattle Mariners. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So there you go, 5-4. The Toronto Blue Jays have beaten the Philadelphia Phillies. The St. Louis Cardinals. It is the first game of a three-game series. Series continues tomorrow night. Remember, Wednesday is an afternoon game. Tomorrow night is a 7:45 first pitch. Wednesday afternoon is a 2:15 first pitch from St. Louis. So, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Laval and Repentigny, Quebec. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986, so protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.
Jeff, don't you tease me like that.